God this morning, but we just want to prepare our hearts a little bit. This is why we get in the Word. The Word is so important. He sent His Word and healed them. The Word always stirs my heart up to faith, and so that's what we want to do this morning. Romans 3 and verse 21 says, "But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known." And what most people have a problem with, you know, the scripture, Jesus said that, "Believe in your heart that you have received and do not doubt, and it will be yours." We always have a problem with the doubt in our heart. Well, why is the doubt there? Well, our insecurities, we're not important enough, or God's too busy, but He isn't. all of these things. But the Holy Spirit is in us. The power of God to heal is in us. And yesterday, as I'm teaching the heart seminar, I said, we got to get all the garbage out of the way so the power can flow. And it's a faith proposition in our heart. And so with our head, we know Jesus heals. But if we don't, I said many times, if we don't spend time in the Word, meditate so that that faith gets stronger in our heart for that situation, then we're just trying to do it with what we know in our head. And it's a heart proposition, because you believe in your heart. With your head, you have mental assent that that is true. You decide that that is right. You receive that truth in your heart. But how strong is that truth in your heart? See, we all agree God heals in our head, but we got to receive with our heart. That's the difference. And so I want to go through some scriptures here this morning to stir up your heart. And to which the law and the prophets testified, this righteousness from God, a righteousness apart from the law, apart from how good or how bad that you have been. It's a whole different kind of righteousness. Comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. This righteousness comes through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. It's not according to works. It's according to faith. It's not according to your past, how good or bad you've been. Of course, you have to ask forgiveness and repent to have your heart right. But this righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. So we believe with our heart. That's faith. So in our heart, we believe in Jesus Christ. Not in Bruce, not in Hank, not in Bill, not in Fred, not in yourself. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. That's all. So, right away, don't get your unworthiness or your own heart emotions into the picture, or anything you've done in the past has got nothing to do with it. That's not what your faith is in. See, that's all the doubt. So, faith is in Jesus, in His goodness, in what He accomplished. And He is the Word. So your faith is in something other than yourself. It has nothing to do with you. Only your ability to believe something in your heart that you believe to be true in the Word of God. And if you focus your faith on that, then everyone can have strong faith. And this righteousness by faith is one of the key things, because it has nothing to do with works or how good or how bad you've been. It has to do with the fact that Jesus paid for all of your sins. And that what gets rid of a lot of the doubt, because sometimes we feel, will God really do this with us, for us? All right, so there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So none of us can come to God on our own goodness. Not a single one of us. So why do we put ourselves in the equation? Will God really do this for me? What do you mean me? Me has nothing to do with it. It's your faith in your heart in the Word of God. This is why we have to meditate and refresh that concept of faith in our heart concerning God's healing. And are justified freely. Justified means declared righteous freely by His grace. Again, by His grace. If it's how good or how bad you are, you're trying to earn it, then it's not grace. But see, our hearts are deceitfully wicked. The devil's roaming around like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. Or we could add there, who he may deceive. He's the great deceiver, and our hearts are deceitfully wicked. So we get going in circles because we can't see the cross clearly and what Jesus really did because of our own emotional problems. And are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And as we've talked about righteousness before, it's an absolute righteousness. Jesus didn't pay for 99.8% of your sins. He paid for 100% of them. It's an absolute righteousness. It's an absolute redemption. It's an absolute forgiveness. It's an absolute everything. There's nothing partial at all about what Jesus did on the cross. It is absolute restoration, absolute love, absolute grace, everything. So we have to think in terms of absolutes, as we talked about absolute righteousness and absolute cold. Our heart has only experienced maybe 30 or 40 below. But absolute cold is minus 273 degrees Celsius. We cannot imagine what that's like because our hearts have never experienced it. And this is sort of what absolute, I think in that same degree, the only righteousness you have experienced is how much goodness you have done in your life. That's all your heart has experienced. But this righteousness from God is absolute. So if it's an absolute righteousness, then when I come to God in the name of Jesus, not in my own name, not in my own goodness, I don't come in the name of Bruce or Bill. I come in the name of Jesus. It represents everything that He has done for me. It represents my righteousness by faith, my absolute righteousness. And so when I mention the name of Jesus, and my heart is right with God, the best of my knowledge, then God looks at me as if I have never ever sinned all of my life or never even had a bad thought all of my life. That's what the name of Jesus does, because that's what it represents. My heart can't even handle that. But it's true. See, I can believe it because that's what God's word says. This is what God said He accomplished on Jesus on the cross. And this is what He wants us to believe. How do I know this is true? Because I have experienced Jesus in my heart. And if I experienced Him in my heart, then He's been raised from the dead. I would not be able to experience Him in my heart the way I have. And if He's been raised from the dead, then this is true. He's paid for my sins. He's paid for 100. You see how it's, I'm very logical. But it's a logical conclusion where it's building blocks. If this is true, then this is true, then this has to be true. And so when we come to God, that's why we pray in the name of Jesus. But sometimes if we don't have a revelation of some of these things, we're used to just thinking of our own goodness according to how we feel and how good or bad we've been and how much our own heart tells us we're useless or negative self-image and all these things. So that's why we meditate, so that this righteousness by faith becomes more real in our heart than all the garbage in our own heart that's telling us we're not worthy to be healed. So it's functioning by faith. It's not by feelings, not by feelings, not by what your name represents, not by what you have done, but the name of Jesus, what He has done, and what His name represents. that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Where is your faith? In the shed blood of Jesus. That's where your faith is. It's not in you. I don't care how much you've suffered in your life. That suffering does not give you the right to come before God without any sin. It's how much Jesus suffered in his shed blood. Through faith, see, we got to get over ourselves and get into Jesus and what he's done for us. He did this to demonstrate his justice. God sent Jesus to shed his blood on the cross to pay for our sins, to demonstrate his justice. That God is a just God. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. In his forbearance, knowing what was coming in the future, knowing what he was going to do through Jesus on the cross, he left the sins unpunished, even though they hadn't been physically paid for by Jesus. Even the Old Testament, through Abraham, was by faith through grace. They couldn't be born again. They didn't love right or live right, so God instituted the whole sacrificial system, which was supposed to have an effect on their heart and their relationship with God. But then that became tradition, the same as we have traditions in religious places today. And he didn't punish them the way they deserved for their sin. But now he sends Jesus to pay for all the sin for all time, to show that he is just for not having punished their sins. Because he knew he was going to put them on Jesus. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. See, if God wasn't just to find a way to pay for sin, then he couldn't declare us righteous. If he's not just, how can he declare us just? I mean, you really got to sit down and think about this maybe for a couple hours to really see the heart of God and how just he is. And because we've experienced Jesus in our heart, wow, then that just takes that whole to a whole new level, because we know that we know that we know this is true, or we would never have experienced Jesus in our heart. Amen? Amen. So we're coming to him in the name of Jesus, to the Father, in our absolute righteousness, as if we have never sinned all of our life or never even had a negative thought. That's the only reason that I cannot doubt. But if I look at myself, I'm going to doubt every time, because I'm not worthy. None of us are. Most Christians live so much by their emotions. They control their life so much that they can't even get a revelation of this, because they're not spending time with the Holy Spirit. Or they don't even get the teaching. They don't know how to think or where to look. But this is so key, that your faith is in something outside of yourself or outside of your life, your past, or what you've done or anything else. Your faith is in Jesus. I'm getting excited already. I feel like hollering, but I'm going to lose my voice if I do. But what a glorious, glorious, phenomenal concept. And if you think you're good enough, not good enough, well, you can't earn it anyways. It's by faith. It's a whole faith proposition. But faith is in our heart. You can understand this with your head, but in your heart, you still have negative self-image, or you feel you're not worthy. You remember all your past. The devil is accusing you 24 hours a day. So you got to get closer to Jesus and more revelation of this and deeper revelation of this, so the devil can't keep accusing you and beating you up. And when he throws your past at him, just laugh at him. Devil, I know my past. So did Jesus. But he called me anyways. He chose me. I didn't choose him. And he chose me to go and bear much fruit. And I am absolutely righteous in him. So take a hike. Just laugh at him. In your heart. I mean, you just... it establishes the truth and the joy of salvation in your heart. And it always keeps you coming back. But if you keep praying and wondering whether God's going to do it, you're just hoping. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Either this is true or it's not true. And if it's not true, what in the world are we doing here this morning? What are we doing at all in life if this isn't true? We live as those that have no hope. So let's go on from here to Hebrews chapter 8. So righteousness has been accredited to us. And even though we still, that's our position in Christ, we have this privileged position that we can always come to the Father through our righteousness by faith. Our condition is that we still sin. Thank goodness that we understand what the Father did through Jesus, and that in Christ we have this privileged position. That's why when I sin, I always run to Jesus, run to my righteousness by faith, and back to grace. But when we sin, our hearts condemn us. All those negative emotions rise up. We think, how could God ever love us? We try harder to be good so that God will like us. And we've already totally missed righteousness by faith. It's gone out the window. Haven't got a clue. But this is how people get religious. And everywhere I've gone, everywhere in the world, every church that I've gone into was religious. They were under law and legalism and didn't even understand it. Where did I take you? Hebrews chapter 8. So we're going to go through a few steps here. This is talking about the high priest of the new covenant, which is Jesus. And verse 8, but God found fault with the people in the old covenant and said, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant and I turned away from them. So this is a quote from the Old Testament by the prophet Jeremiah saying that God is declaring this system is not working and I'm going to make a new covenant. Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. And Jesus was the fulfillment of everything in the old covenant. But the old covenant wasn't working the way God wanted it to, but he knew it wouldn't, because it was there to show them how sinful they were and that they needed a Savior so that they could accept Jesus when he did come. And so here God is talking through Jeremiah 3,500, 4,000 years ago that he's going to make a new covenant sometime in the future. This covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their heart. How did he do that? Through the new birth. Mm-hmm. His nature inside of us, the nature of righteousness, the desire to do what is right. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. So I'm so excited I can teach the heart seminar to Orthodox bishops and to people off the street, and they all respond because they all getting to know Jesus better. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. God says he will remember our sins no more. If he remembers them, see, he is love. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love holds no record of wrongs. He's God. He just... see, when I had a full revelation of righteousness, it was like sin was obliterated. It didn't even exist. It couldn't exist. It was gone. It was just... You know, and I was so happy and joyful and jumping up and down. I can't explain it in human terms, but sin was obliterated. That's why God can forget it, because Jesus has done away with it. It doesn't matter now. Only when we commit it and we got to forgive or ask, repent and ask for forgiveness so that we can stay in this relationship with Jesus that he's given us with the Father. All right? But as soon as we ask for forgiveness and repent, the Holy Spirit keeps working in us to help us to overcome that as we meditate in the Word. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. Let's go to Hebrews 6. Verse 13, the certainty of God's promise. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. I love that. When God swore by himself, who can argue? I mean, he's God. He created the universe. He swore by himself. You know, when somebody says, oh, I'm just a no good sinner crawling through the dust of the earth at the foot of the cross, you're calling God a liar. That is just stupidity. That is denying what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Puts an end to all arguments. There's nothing left, see, there's nothing left to argue about. Shut up, heart. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am worthy because Jesus made me worthy, not because of how good I am. You ugly heart, you're the one that caused all these problems in the first place. You're dead. I'm alive to a new creation. I got a new heart now. Don't let that ugly old heart control your life. Somebody once said, oh, you can't deny your emotions. That's not healthy. Well, I can deny them the right to control my life. I know they're there. I don't deny they're not there. That's Christian Science. You know, yeah, they're there. But they're not going to control my life. This is what's going to control my life. This is what's going to control my thinking. This is what's going to control my approach to God and why I'm receiving. Because this is where my faith needs to be. Not in my emotions, not in my past. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose. The nature of his purpose. Think about that. The nature of his purpose. The reason of his purpose. Why he's doing, what he wants to come out of this. His character that's behind this was to have children that he could change into the image of Jesus. And bless them with everything that Jesus has accomplished for him. He swore by himself because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. Very clear to you and I. He wants to make this very clear. His heart, his desire, his nature. He confirmed it with an oath. I'm going to send Jesus, my son. He's going to pay for all of your sins. I will look at you as if you have never, ever sinned all of your life, as if you've never even had a bad thought all of your life. I'm going to forget everything that you have ever done all of your life. And to make that very clear, I'm going to swear by myself so you can be greatly encouraged in that. If this is not true, then I cannot be God, is what he's saying. Can you imagine if God can't be God? Whew, what would happen? The whole world would fall apart. The devil would be in charge. And that'd be an awful mess, wouldn't it? That's how true this is. So we just look. We're still on the earth. It hasn't fallen apart. This has got to be true. God did it so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. See, you have to follow this thinking through, meditate on it, and understand it. Allow the Holy Spirit to make it real in your heart to be greatly encouraged. But this is why he did it. So everybody that needs healing today, God swore by himself that he would make this new covenant, forgive your sins, allow you to come into his presence with full confidence to the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus so that you could be greatly encouraged to receive your healing. Nobody can think this stuff up. It's amazing. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Firm and secure, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. In the Old Testament, only the high priest once a year could go into the presence of God. Now every one of us, every day, every minute of every day, can enter in behind the veil into the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. It signifies our absolute righteousness. Jesus has made us one with the Father. And this was by the will of the Father. Because he wanted us and he chose us. We are born again by the will of the Father. Wow. Where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf, he has become the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Pastor Bill, where are those scriptures you always quote that we can come with full confidence to the throne of grace?
That's just Hebrews 4:16.
4:16? Yeah, let's start in verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. See, you got to understand this and then hang on to it for the rest of your life, no matter what. That every time you pray, you go through this scripture, and it becomes more real to you. God starts to answer your prayers, and then you know it becomes stronger in your heart. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What are we approaching? The throne of grace. You know that place where we can't earn anything by how good we are? We're approaching the throne of grace with full confidence because Jesus has wiped away our past sins. Yeah, but what about what I did last week? Ask for forgiveness. Repent.
Receive it.
See, we always have this to come back to no matter what has happened. This is how we come back to grace all the time because of our righteousness in Christ. This is how we approach the throne of grace. But if you're trying to approach the throne of grace to receive something from God, God does not give us anything because of our works. Because if we are under a system of works, we have fallen from grace. The throne of grace is where we come because we cannot earn anything. We cannot be good enough. That's why we're coming to the throne of grace. If the throne of grace wasn't there, then we'd still be in the Old Testament where everything was by works. And now we can approach the throne of grace. Why? Because Jesus has given us absolute righteousness. See, you meditate on that long enough, that gets rid of all the doubt. You can't overcome the doubt with your head. Oh, I know Jesus loves me. Oh, I know God heals. I know this. I know that. I know that. But we got to receive with our heart. Faith is of the heart. And if you don't understand this stuff and meditate on it, then it's not real in your heart, and we're trying to do it with our head. But we can come because God swore by himself that this was going to happen, and this happened when Jesus was crucified. Now I can come with full confidence to the throne of grace, or God can't be God because he swore by himself. So it greatly encourages me. I have to meditate on this stuff if I need a healing. I don't live in the reality of that every day, but I have to meditate on whatever I need so that I can receive it through my heart, or I can live it by faith through my heart to overcome that stuff that I'm still not overcome yet, because everything is a process. I hope this is stirring up some faith in you. Somebody say amen, please. Am I talking to anybody? Are you with me? Am I talking to anybody here? Oh. And find grace to help us in our time of need. This is so rich to me. I mean, I just didn't have to stand here and teach. I'd go home and meditate on this. It is so good. All right. Let's go to Hebrews 6. Or did I take you there already? I don't know. Been there once. Yeah, we just did that, didn't we? We'll be greatly encouraged. Hebrews 10. We'll go there. We'll start in verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, so speaking of Jesus, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. He waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Say again, Fred.
Everything has completed. He's waiting.
Yeah. But his enemies to be made his footstool. Does anybody have any other translation there that says something a little bit different? Verse 13. To me, it maybe I'm interpreting this wrong. His enemies to be made his footstool. Why will his enemies be made his footstool? We were all enemies of the cross. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. His footstool. That's why every knee shall bow. We humble ourselves at the foot of the cross, the foot of Jesus, the feet of Jesus. And his enemies that don't humble themselves, they're going to be in trouble. But by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Need some more looking into that. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Christianity is the only religion that deals with the sin problem. Completely. Wow. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, And since we have a great priest over the house of God, wow, all of these things combined, this is the conclusion of it. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Your healing that you need today is dependent upon your faith in all of this that we said this morning and what Jesus did and that God swore by himself. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Wow. All right, Hebrews 11. After all of that comes Hebrews 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. How can we be sure of what we're hoping for? Because of everything Jesus did and accomplished. And that he's made us absolutely righteous. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, God looks at us as if we have never, ever sinned all of our life or never even had a negative thought all of our life. And he's forgiven and forgotten everything in the past. That's how we can be sure that we're going to receive what we hope for, because God swore by himself. I know we understand it, but it's got to get in here so real that we get so excited that we meditate on it and the healing just starts to manifest. Where you read these scriptures every day, go over them in your heart every day, because Jesus wants you to get to know him as your healer in your heart, not just when Pastor Hank prays for you. And he wants that to become so strong that you have the confidence to go and pray for others and that he can work through you. I haven't taught on healing a lot in the last number of years because I know the most important thing coming up is our character in the last days, and the Holy Spirit will be poured out so strong there'll be all kinds of healing, anointing, and power. So I've emphasized, even when I go overseas, I hardly leave any time for praying for people because they can pray after I've left. To me, the most important thing is that they learn about their hearts, purify their hearts. And then as they do that and get to know the Lord will do the miracles. He'll stir up their faith. But all of this is foundational stuff right here. Righteousness by faith, faith in our righteousness by faith, and faith in our hearts, putting us in that position that we have in Christ by faith, where all of our faith has got nothing to do with us, but everything to do with Jesus. And wow, you'll see that as we do that and confess that every day, go over those scriptures every day, your healing will come, because you can now believe that you have received and do not doubt. If the doubt is still there, go over these scriptures again. These scriptures will get rid of the doubt. And as you meditate, the Holy Spirit makes this more real. You can get to the point where your healing just starts to manifest because you're meditating and it becomes so real in your heart. Faith in your heart is developed to the level that, boom, the healing is there. And if you don't meditate in the Word, when you need a healing, well, then you got to keep confessing it, believe that you've received, and keep thinking about it, these scriptures, and eventually it will come. And during that process, faith will develop. It can happen quicker the more time you spend in the Word, because the Word, he sent his Word and healed them. So we have the Word. The way the healing comes is that word will develop faith, and faith comes by hearing the word, which comes through meditation. We just have to take the steps and go through the process. But I know, even myself, when I have meditated about something else, my heart got so excited, my mind got farther into the spiritual realm, that the healing just, boom, was there. So this is why it's important. So I said many times, God does a lot of miracles with people that aren't saved or just got saved. But as we get older, he expects us to grow in faith in all of these different areas. I'm not trying to make this hard or saying God won't do instant miracles. He will. He always does. But believing that you have received, whether it's instant or not, many times we've prayed for people in crusades and they were healed on the way home. Miraculous stuff. Healed as they walked out of the church. They kept believing. Then we prayed for some people that were healed instantly and we asked them, how are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling good now. Well, the Lord has healed you. Well, we'll see. Duh. But these people just did not have any teaching, did not know anything about faith. God healed them, but then they can lose their healing because they just didn't have the faith to keep it. All right. We should finish with James chapter 5 because we're going to anoint some people with oil if they want this morning. Talks about the prayer of faith. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. If any one of you sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. So you have your own faith, and the elders have their faith. Combine those two faiths and the anointing of the oil. And as we pray over the oil, and God's anointing is on that by faith, then when that oil touches you, that is your point of contact because of everything we just said this morning, right? So this is how God uses these things. Even as Kathy was healed with a drop of holy water that came from a bishop that touched her accidentally, and she was instantly healed. But see, and the Apostle Paul prayed over cloths and handkerchiefs, and the anointing of God was on that by faith. And when the people took them home, their family was healed and all these kind of things. So it's all comes about by faith and God confirming his word. He controls the power, but we're going to pray over this oil and believe God's anointing is on it by faith. And when you are touched by that oil or we lay hands on you, whatever happens this morning, soon as you receive that everything we've taught you this morning, everything that's stirred up in your heart, that's your point of contact. Then everything is released. Soon as that happens, now I believe that I have received. Thank you for healing me. Tomorrow morning, if there's still pain there, thank you for healing me, Lord. Thank you for healing me. I believe that I have received. Go over these scriptures again. I was just thinking about what Kathy said last week where she was healed at my mom's funeral and the pain just left. She went to the doctor and the x-ray showed 3 weeks earlier that there wasn't anything there. Yeah. So, you know, this is why faith is important. But God wants this so developed in our heart that it's just a natural thing. So, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And all our faith is in Jesus, his goodness, and what he accomplished. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. He just didn't whisper a little prayer, "Oh, Lord, shut up the sky so it doesn't rain." No, he prayed earnestly. Hebrews 11:6 says that We must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder who diligently seek him. Kathy knows my memory isn't too good sometimes, and she helps me here, so appreciate that, honey. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. My brothers, if one of you shall wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So we're going to pray that we believe. And when we pray, we lay hands on you or anoint you with oil, whatever you want, at that point, everybody's going to release their faith. And from that moment on, we are in agreement that you have received your healing. Matthew chapter 18 says that any two of you agree on anything, my Heavenly Father in heaven shall be done for you. Well, there's about 15 of us here. If we all agree, it will be done. And you do not change from that stance. And any doubts come, you go back and read those scriptures or get this CD, listen to it again, and go over it, reaffirm your faith, keep your faith strong. You will receive. This is a guaranteed thing when you stop and think about it. Well, how come some people die of cancer? Some pastors have died of cancer. I don't know. I think it would take a lot of faith to overcome those things. That's why I've often said if I had a terminal illness of some sort and the doctors couldn't do anything, I'd get in a cottage by myself with 5 gallons of water and I would meditate and either be healed or go home happy, one or the other. But that is my responsibility to fight the good fight of faith. All right. Father, as we come before you now in accordance with your word, we thank you, Father, that we can have a faith because our faith is in Jesus and what you accomplished on the cross and that you soar by yourself, Father, so that we can be greatly encouraged. We thank you, Lord, that we are just because you are just and you have justified us through the sacrifice of Jesus. You have declared us righteous, that nothing stands in the way between us and you, Father. We thank you, Father, that sin is obliterated and you forget and have forgotten all of our sins because of the blood of Jesus. Wow, nothing at all stands except the false, lying accusations that the devil tries to throw at us. But our faith in you is much stronger than a bunch of false accusations by a liar, Father. And so we stand on your word and on your promises because we have experienced your love in our lives. We've experienced your goodness already in our lives. We're just appealing for more at the throne of grace where we cannot earn anything. It's just freely given us by you, Father, through our faith in what Jesus did on the cross. It is impossible to earn it, so we cannot come on our own goodness. Father, we're not reminding you of these things. We're just building up our faith and reaffirming our faith that this is the way it is and this is the way you receive us because of your love for us. If we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good things unto us? And Father, even though we're getting older, our bodies are wearing out, which we know has to happen. Father, we also know that we don't have to suffer because of Jesus, that we don't have to die in pain, that we don't have to die before our time, that with long life you satisfy us. And even in our old age, we will bear fruit. So Father, we thank you for our health. We thank you for your healing, anointing power that's here today, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as we pray over this anointing oil, we pray that your anointing would be on this oil and within it, Father God. Lord, as it comes on your servants and your people, and their faith is released, Father, and our faith is released, as we pray the prayer of faith, combine all our faith together in accordance with your word, Father, that your healing anointing power will flow into their bodies, drive out every sickness and disease, recreate what needs recreating, readjust what needs readjusting, heal what needs healing, Father, as you know what each and every body needs, Father. Recreate everything that needs recreated, because you have given us, through the cross, absolute righteousness and absolute health, absolute everything. And we're believing for the absoluteness of the cross because of Jesus and what that cross and what his suffering accomplished for us, Father. Your anointing in this oil, Father, in the name of Jesus, your healing anointing power, which symbolizes your Holy Spirit in us. Lord, we know your power is here right now to heal every single person. And Father, even those that are not here today, we pray for them for complete and total release from those things that we have prayed for this week, Father. And Father, we just take authority over every spirit of arthritis in Jesus' name. On Helen, Kathy, Bonnie, Marie, Martin, osteoporosis and arthritis on Marie, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just bring before your throne of grace that numbness in Bruce's leg would leave today, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, renewed or anew thyroid for Margaret Cross and Charmaine, Father, in the name of Jesus. Complete and total healing, Father. Lord, that severe rash that's on Marius would disappear today, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for John Cool, the healing of his respiratory system, complete and total health, freedom of healing, Father, in the name of Jesus. Freedom of breathing, Father, in the name of Jesus. No congestion in his lungs whatsoever, in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for Johanna and her back, Lord, that you would readjust what needs readjusting, heal what needs healing, Father God. Lord, repair all the damage that has been done in the name of Jesus. By your grace, Father, by the sacrifice of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, by his stripes, we were healed, Father. And the pain in Mary Ellen's feet, Father God, that it would disappear and dissipate. Lord, that you would make all the adjustments that are needed there, in the name of Jesus. Father, all the things that Ted has been believing for, that we've prayed for, a full manifestation of the healing in his body, Father God. Father, for Stuart, the pain in his hip, a neuropathy in his body, Father God. Lord, that the nervous system would be totally whole and healed, the pain would disappear and dissipate even today, Father. Father, every part of Kathy's being, Father, the Crohn's, Father, any pain, allergies, disappear in the name and by the blood of Jesus, Father. Strength to her body, Father God. Lord, restore the strength to my body that I've lost from the operation, Father God. Complete and total healing, Father God. Lord, heal my voice box, the rawness of it, Father God, that it would become stronger, whole, and healed in Jesus' name, that I can continue to preach your word. And give me strength for traveling, Father God, strength for teaching, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that by your grace we would fulfill every purpose that you have for us, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, Father. Father, we also add Norbert and the accident that he's had, total restoration for Norbert, Father God. And Mary Ellen's and Marie's brother Dan, total restoration from that hospital bed and all his injuries, Father, in the name of Jesus. Complete and total healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right. I'm going to ask Kathy and Bill to come up. And then if you need healing or all those things, you're on the list, come on up and we'll anoint you with all oil and pray the prayer of faith. And if we've missed anything,